You're listening to Nutty Biting. What? Oh, sorry. You're listening to Biting Nutty. No. You're listening to Nut Bite. No. Nutty Bite. I mean, you're listening to Nutty Bites. No, really. You're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chas. We're about to start the episode where we talk about TV show revivals. But first, I want to thank all the patrons who are making this possible. You can help make this the next episode possible by going to patreon.com/nukechas. Or if you go to the website, there should be a link in the show notes. And you can donate monthly to help pay my overhead costs and make the show much better. This is probably, if you're hearing this, this is probably your last chance to get in on the limited time offer of getting a original piece of art from this year's Daily Creativity Project. That's only going to be going on for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks after Easter. We'll see. And there's only a few left. I think there's maybe only 8 of those left. So you can go to Patreon and you can pick those up. But I just want to thank Shane Poole, Aaron Jackson, David Doc Blue Wendt, Patrick Scafito, Jen Hansen, Harold Whaling, Ian Swallow, Aurora Lee, Beth Kinsey, Susanna, Melissa A. Bartel, and Frank, who is supporting me via PayPal because he doesn't understand Patreon, which is totally cool. If you don't like Patreon or you don't understand it, you can donate through PayPal. Or if you want to send me something directly through snail mail, just contact me. We can work something out and I will still respect those levels. And as always, everything a Patreon member gets, audio, you know, everything for the podcast will go out to everyone else free. Patrons just get it a couple of days early and they get a couple of extra little things. They get to help me decide on topics. They get to help me decide how I release content. And I like to give them gifts when I can. All right. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chas, and I've got a Nutty Bites episode for you today. Today, we are going to be talking about TV show revivals. With me today, I have my regular co-host.
Hi, I'm Sick. I mean, hi, I'm Tech.
And a special guest we have for the first time on the Nutty Bites podcast, Mr. Robin Burge. Say hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I've been wanting to have you on the show for a while, and I knew that it was going to be TV show themed because you are Mr. TV, or at least you seem to be that way to me, maybe by comparison.
It's the fact that I look like Sid Caesar, apparently.
Okay.
he was Mr. Television, sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I missed that part. But you, not only do you love TV, but you're on a couple of podcasts about various TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want me to talk about them now?
Just a couple. For your credentials, you know.
A couple. The iZombie podcast with Robin and Steph. Talk about the TV show iZombie. Defenders podcast, which is a show I talk with folks about the Marvel Netflix superhero series like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil Season 2 coming up. And, of course, Redemption Cast, where we're slowly going through Angel. Oh my God. And I totally forgot. There's another one too. I just started. It's called We Don't Want to Wait. And it's where me and Stephanie are just watching several episodes of Dawson's Creek at a time and not waiting for anybody to catch up. Hence the title.
And you've done Fisher Cast, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 6 Feet Under. Yeah. Yeah.
And a couple other things. So yeah. You've got some pretty good credentials here.
Yeah.
So for me, a lot of my background will be, I didn't have cable till I moved out and paid for it myself. So most of my TV viewing as a younger child is all network TV. Tech, what is your background with general TV viewing?
I grew up in a pretty strict household where even things like The Wonder Years, where you have to watch with your parents, you can't watch that show alone, that's too grown up, that's too adult. So what? I grew up watching a lot of TGIF and Looney Tunes and a lot of older TV shows because those were okay because my parents grew up watching them. So a lot of Hogan's Heroes, a lot of Get Smart. I'm a huge, huge Get Smart fan. I seem to be the only person alive who remembers that show.
I don't think that's the case.
I remember it. It's called Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, Don Adams, how much we love you and how great was Inspector Gadget. But that and Saturday morning cartoons and all that stuff is what I grew up on.
Well, a big part of your parents being strict, though, is the fact that they speak French.
That's right.
And if they didn't know what they were saying in English, they didn't want you watching it.
Exactly. My parents learned English as a second language in their adulthood, and if a concept went over their head, I wasn't allowed to watch it because they didn't understand it. They were being protective. I get it. I understand it. I'm not critiquing their parental style in any way. Rye is delicious. Yeah, I missed out on a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things I didn't watch, a lot of movies I didn't see. I didn't watch my first R-rated movie till I was 17, and it was Predator, by the way. Fantastic movie. And there's a lot of music I didn't listen to.
So, okay. And you reminded me, by the way, we watched a lot of MASH growing up.
Oh, yes.
That was a big thing in my family.
Love MASH.
So we're talking about TV show revivals because there's so many of them right now. We are in the year of TV show revivals. X-Files, Fuller House, Girl Meets World, Baywatch is going to have a movie, Veronica Mars, Twin Peaks is working on a revival. The list goes on. So let's start off with just covering the stuff that has come out already, the highs and the lows.
I'm still waiting for a good revival to come out. Is that an accurate summary?
Maybe. Well,
X-Files, I am disappointed.
I X-Files should have stopped on episode 3.
That's where we stopped, by the way.
No.
Good. Don't go any further.
I really, the first episode of X-Files, now I'm a newer fan of X-Files because I didn't watch it while it was live. I just caught up this past year. And I caught up thanks to a cheat sheet from Robin telling me which episodes to watch and which episodes to skip, which I wish I had for the first 5 seasons. But
you needed to watch all of those. So
oh, no, not all of them. But the first episode was very world building and you kind of had to slug through it to get into what they were doing. The second episode I thought was amazing. And the third episode, I just laughed my butt off. But Tech, you didn't like the third episode as much.
They were hitting me over the head with it. They were trying to be funny, and I get what they were doing. They were trying to do another X-Cops or Bleeping Dead Aliens, like they're very good comedy episodes, and it wasn't quite there. It was funny, and it was very good deadpan humor. I had a couple good hee-hee-ucks, but after the horrible letdown that was that first episode, and the second one, was a classic X-Files Monster of the Week episode. They could have thrown that in anywhere else in the other seasons. You wouldn't have noticed, except everybody looked a little older. It was fine. The third one, a pretty decent Monster of the Week episode, a decent comedy, but after all the hype, all the buildup, we finally get our X-Files back, and what do we get? We get 3 episodes of Drek. I could have done without.
I just have to mention X-Cops is the best episode of X-Files ever.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know about that, but it is pretty awesome.
It is my favorite. There's one that's close second, but X-Cops is my favorite.
Because I remember when that came out live, and that was one of those things that it was next on Fox, a very special episode of Cops. It's like, but I wanted to watch amazing. X-Files. Yeah. And then you see like Fox and Mulder and like the Bad Boys theme is playing. Okay, Fox has just gone high, but I got to watch this. It's good. It was so funny.
Yeah. So this revival, though, I in the end, I mean, I went to this revival with like my whole heart. You know how much of a X-Files fan I am, Natty. I love that show. It's my favorite show. And I saw the premiere down in New York Comic Con. The panel was there with Chris Carter and David Duchovny and Mitch Pileggi. It was amazing. Saw it on the big screen. It really helped that. But in the end, it felt like they were trying to cram way too many ideas into like just a couple episodes, because in the end it was just 2 mythology episodes to bookend the series and then 3 Monster of the Week episodes. And in the middle is this, you know, one of their favorite writers is Darren Morgan, but his thing is to deconstruct the X-Files. So it's like, we want to revive the X-Files. We don't want to point out like, oh, you guys are all silly, you know, and this is kind of a stupid show to watch, you know. It's fun every once in a while in the middle of like a 22-episode series.
But you've only got six.
Yeah. How about just one decent story to run through six episodes? Maybe a couple of diversions here or there. But no, they wanted everything. And they tried cramming everything. The fourth episode you haven't watched yet, I won't spoil it. But it is a Monster of the Week episode crossed with a mythology episode. And they try to jam it together. It doesn't fit at all. And it feels very awkward. And neither plot works out, at least to my satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. That first episode was just... It's like someone watched all seven seasons and kept crib notes of everything that made X-Files and then tried to jam it into 1 hour. Mm. And it was...
There were nine seasons, I just got to say.
Well, seven good ones, let's say.
I don't know. I got to say, I like Doggett.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
No Doggett in the revival, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, I came out of it, the whole thing, saying like, man, people really got down on how terrible season nine was. I was like, man, if they had the writing and the production value of season nine in this revival, it would have been so much better. And that's pretty hard to say.
I did like that in the third episode of the revival, they're at the cemetery and there's a gravestone for Kim Manners. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Great.
There was another gravestone for somebody else as well.
Yes, somebody else that worked on it, but not a name that I can recall at the
Jack
top of my head.
Jack Hardy, I believe.
Yeah,
I think
something like that, yeah.
The production.
Yeah. So let's skip to a revival that I know for Tech and I worked really well. And we've got a viewer who suggested this and reminded me. Thank you so much, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
I'll read the rest of your comments to Tech later. But Red Dwarf. Yes. Red Dwarf Season X. Season 10.
Red Dwarf X.
That was a revival, and it was done well. I mean, I can rewatch those episodes and love them just as much as I can other episodes of Red Dwarf. And yeah, the cast looked a little older, and it's kind of funny when an android looks older, except for Cat. Cat didn't age at all.
Cat doesn't age. Danny John Jules is immortal.
Yes.
He found the Lazarus Chamber, and it's working for him, so... hooray for that. I don't know how many people they have to sacrifice, how many human souls a day they have to sacrifice to keep him looking awesome.
Well, it must have something to do with him killing all the other cats for his clothing.
That's what it was.
That's the sacrifice.
He bathes in cat blood.
That must be it. Did you see that at all, Robin?
I've watched like one episode of Red Dwarf, and of course it was with the friend that was like the super fan that sat me down and was like, dude, this is the best and funniest series ever. You have to watch it.
And then he watched you through the whole thing.
And I'm just like, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm watching the show and I have the friend next to me just like looking at me like, right? I'm like, give me a second. And so I had a kind of I was like discouraged. But
watch it on your own time. You'll love it.
Yeah, it's I believe it's on my queue, so I'll get to it eventually.
It is the Red Dwarf has always been to me, it's the answer to sci-fi that takes itself too seriously. And for me, I'll talk about something else here for a second. When Fifth Element came out, I was so disappointed in that movie. I wanted more serious sci-fi. I wanted another Alien. I wanted another Star Wars. I wanted more Star Trek. I wanted serious, hard-edge sci-fi. And what did I get? I got funny suits and Lilo Dallas multipass. I got a stupid opera singer and a Bruce Willis action movie, and it was stupid, and I hated it. Now it is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Fifth Element. What was wrong with 17-year-old Tech? And Red Dwarf is the same thing as Fifth Element to me. It is the answer to that serious edge sci-fi. It is, let's just have fun with it. Let's have fun with, what would a cat that evolved over 3 million years end up being? Well, it turns into an effeminate black man dressed in crazy gear with roller skates and a megaphone and a perfume spritzer going around the halls of the ship going, attention, lady cats! Spritz, spritz. Attention, lady cats! What are you doing? I'm courting. Spritz, spritz. It just goes in crazy places and it's nuts. And Red Dwarf X, the 10th season, and being a British TV show, that means they have six episodes a series, so you don't get sick of it.
Yeah.
The Father's Day episode.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Is by far the greatest episode of all time. And they play with, so you know how cell phones have got like predictive text technology where they know what your next word's going to be and they try to predict it as you're typing? They have that with their ship's AI, who tries to fix things ahead of time as they break. But knowing you, it tries to predict how you would fix it and fixes it that way. And one of the crew members is incompetent, so basically the AI of the ship runs around ahead of him breaking everything because he knows he'll just cock it all up. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. It's a great series. The only thing missing from Red Dwarf FX, I think, is Holly.
We need Holly.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't Norman Lovett, just bring back Hilly.
If it was Hilly,
yeah,
we'll take it.
Yeah. So that's a revival that worked. So there we go. We've answered that there is a good revival.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's one of them. I'm gonna throw this out there, and it's a revival sort of that we're watching. It's a TV show that was canceled, and then they gave it another season after it canceled. But it was within a year, so I'm not sure if it counts. But Scrubs Med School, no.
I never made it that far.
Scrubs is a great series. We've been watching it on Netflix. And then you get to season 8, everything ends, everything's wrapped up. And then there's Scrubs Med School, and I swear it's fan fiction.
Yeah, they wrapped up their arc nicely, and then the network came back and said, here's a dump truck of money, would you make another season? So they did, but they couldn't get everyone's schedules to line up, I think. So Zach Braff only shows up for a few of the episodes, and then Sarah Chalk only shows up for a couple of the episodes, and there's very few of the main characters who are actually there the whole time, and it's disjointed and weird, and they bring in this whole secondary cast as main characters. It's basically that the plot to the whole arc is that the hospital Sacred Heart gets flattened and rebuilt on a university campus as a teaching hospital, and all of the cast of characters that we know are now medical professors teaching a new class of med students.
Meh.
it's just basically every episode is let's watch Cox get mad and rant at people. And is that not the best part of the show?
Yeah.
I find myself at work. Now, I've watched too much Scrubs. I find myself at work yelling at my subordinates and going, Healy, now, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it works so good. And there's even a military bent to that because he played a squad sergeant in platoon. He was there before Cox went to medical school. He served in Vietnam.
So that's one. Another one. Let's get this out of the way. So recently, Fuller House has been launched. And I was excited for it because I grew up on TGIF, and yeah, it was a hokey show, but you know, I thought this is going to be kind of fun. So we watched the first episode, and every old joke was there. People screamed every time somebody from the old cast walked on stage.
Which reminds me, we need to find that canned laughter track, and that's how you need to open your podcast from now on. You need to walk in through the door, pause. You need to pause, quarter angle to the camera, turn, look, smile, nod. Hey!
It's nutty!
Wait for the applause to go on a little too long and die, and then give your zinger, your classic zinger that everybody knows, which would be you opening a Diet Coke can, and everyone goes, yeah, she did it!
She did the thing!
2 minutes of your 22-minute episode have gone by. You haven't done anything yet. And then immediately cut to commercial.
Exactly. That sounds like a plan to me.
This is what watching TGIF was like, right?
I
pretty much nailed that, I think.
Well, that was pretty much any sitcom in the 90s, I think. You had that. And so the first episode of Fuller House had that. They had all of the catchphrases, you know, have mercy, how rude, you know, whatever. Hug it out, you know, all of that stuff.
Oh, please.
Oh, please, yes. And there are a couple of positives. Like, I really do enjoy every time they did something a little bit meta. You know, where's Michelle? Oh, she's in New York, busy running her fashion empire. Stare at the camera. Nod. Everybody goes back to the scene.
There was the one, how did it go again? I bought my wedding dress. It's an original Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Wow, at these prices, I guess they don't have to act anymore. Everyone stops, looks at the camera.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, buzzing. Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah.
So, Nutty, what do you think of Fuller House?
Well, in the two episodes that I watched, because I was like, okay, I'm hoping they got most of that, you know, throwback stuff out of the way in the pilot. And then I watched the second episode and it wasn't much better. Number one, the biggest thing that bothers me is the middle child is the most obnoxious child actor ever. He screams everything.
Okay, to science fiction fans, I'm going to say something I have never said before. So everyone think back to Star Wars Episode One. This kid makes Jake Lloyd look good.
Yeah, makes Jake Lloyd look like a BAFTA winner. I mean, really, It's insane.
It's Jake Lloyd's birthday today, just so you know.
Happy birthday, Jake!
Burn in hell for what you have done to my sci-fi. Have a happy birthday.
He kind of has this very bad reaction to Star Wars now.
Well, good.
And he doesn't like talking about it at all because of people blaming him. I don't blame Jake Lloyd. I blame Lucas. Let's put the blame where it belongs.
Wait, hold on. Let me wish him a happy birthday with all of the sincerity.
Okay, back up from the mic when you do it, though.
I will wish him a happy birthday with all of the sincerity that he acted with in episode one. Happy birthday. Yay.
No, it's more happy birthday. Yeah.
Woo-hoo! No, that was Jar Jar. You've confused him with Jar Jar again.
But so the middle child is, he screams everything. And it's not child acting, talking to the back row stuff. He just screams everything. You can't tell if he's excited, if he's happy, if he's sad, because they're all just screaming. So he's terrible. I think on the whole, the show is actually put together and written better and is a better show than Girl Meets World. The problem is none of the actors in the show are you really drawn to. Girl Meets World has the advantage of having one of the actresses that is very compelling and you kind of want to watch more of her. There's no one like that in this show. There's just the annoying kid that makes you want to turn the TV off. The old crew, between DJ and Stephanie, they're just so flat. They're missing what they used to have.
Well, I think
the most compelling of them is the Kimmy Gibbler.
And Kimmy Gibbler's daughter.
Yeah.
Who is a great child actress.
Yeah.
I have to say. And I think that's where the problem lies with Fuller House is that the first episode, they brought back the whole cast.
Yeah.
And they even did a bunch of like split screen stuff where they reshot scenes from the original first episode and this first episode. And then they show them side by side on screen with the old cast and the new cast. And it's kind of weird, but it's a funny thing to do. They brought back all of the actors. Episode two, and for the rest of the season, none of like Uncle Jesse.
Well, Uncle Jesse comes back a lot, actually.
Well, yeah, but they're not there. They're not
the main cast. Yeah.
The main cast is all the kids. So what you have are a bunch of kid actors. Candace Cameron, Jodie Sweetin, Kimmy Gibbler, whose name I've forgotten.
Oh, poor Kimmy Gibbler.
Because it's Kimmy Gibbler. But I'll be honest, I don't think they've gotten a lot of work since Full House, at least none that I have seen. So they haven't progressed. They haven't built their acting chops. They're still acting like child actors. And it's horrible. Kimmy Gibbler still uses the exact same facial expressions and look at the cameras that she did when she was 14. She hasn't progressed any. It is
Andrea Barber.
Andrea Barber. Yes. Yes. How dare I?
Yes. How dare you?
How rude.
How rude.
I watched a lot of Full House. I watched it every night. I watched TGIF. I was a fan of the show. Every night it came out, every Friday. Yeah,
I'm not criticizing you. I'm looking at you. Just talk. This is not good audio.
This is fantastic audio. This is me beating you up. Ow. Anyway, enough of that. But this new one, I've watched two episodes. I think I'll pass for the rest.
I may watch it just because I'm a glutton.
Now, Robin, you haven't seen any of it?
No, I mean, I watched it, the original, a little bit. I would assume I have some memories of it, but not nostalgic for it at all. Yeah. Any of the format, the playing to the audience, the punchy jokes, they're so of its time that, you know, I've seen some reviews that say, like, well, what were you expecting? This is it.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. I just had some nostalgia for it. I think also part of my nostalgia is I remember my nieces watching it, like old reruns on Nickelodeon, and they were getting into it, which I just thought, you know, at the time my nieces were teenagers, you know, 15, 16 years old. And what are they watching? Full House and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I was like, you know what? That's pretty cool. So I kind of had a little more, a little higher expectation. I'm glad that it was done on Netflix. I think that that's a good format for revivals. Now, Girl Meets World, I want to talk about a little bit. And that is the TV revival for Boy Meets World, which is another show that I was very into. The big problem. So let's start off with the bad acting.
Yeah, do you remember that show where Kit from Knight Rider was a high school principal?
Yeah. So Corey, which is...
Fred Savage?
No, Ben.
Ben Savage.
Yeah,
the other one.
Fred's brother.
Right.
He still acts like a child actor. Like, not like the ones in Fuller House do. Like, he is speaking to the back row and excited and has no emotional depth. It's quite sad. The one who plays Topanga, Danny something or other, Frechette? I don't know. She's better. But she's actually been working since then. She's better, but she's in the show so infrequently, and when she is, they do weird things with her character. The girl that plays his daughter acts just like he does, so bad child acting. But her
casting sounds like
good casting, because you really believe it's Corey's daughter. But her best friend, the Sean replacement, is compelling. She is like Selena Gomez was on Wizards of Waverly Place, the best thing of the show. You know, you find yourself wanting to watch the character, and the show is written worse, but because of her, it works a little bit better. And they're on, I think, season 3 now.
Wow.
Yeah, on the Disney Channel, so it's a little harder to get to.
We were saying this before we started, that, you know, you're saying that Fuller House, it's in its perfect place on Netflix, mm-hmm. but Girl Meets World went to Disney Channel, and I think that's the perfect spot for, you know, these 90s revivals that play sitcoms the way they do, like very safe, a lot of the punchlines, a lot of the, you know, the audience laughing hysterically. And Disney Channel's been using that formula for years with their own original show.
Yeah.
As soon as they said Girl Meets World went to that channel, I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. It's what makes a good TV revival? How close to the chest do you play it? Do you do like Red Dwarf X, where you allow the characters and the actors to mature over time, and the jokes as well? Or do you do it like Fuller House and Boy Meets Girl or Girl Meets World, where you just rehash all the old gags and play to the same script you did 20 years ago? How do you draw that line?
I think you have to let your characters and your story mature. But I think there's a bit of a balance. Another revival that Shane was mentioning in the Q&A is The Muppet Show. And I think the biggest criticism against The Muppet Show is that they matured and are trying to fit today's time too much.
Right.
You know, they were going for... Now, I didn't see it after they reworked it, because I've heard that they've reworked it since.
Yeah.
But they were going for a very The Office feel. And the thing that was so...
They had Kermit and Miss Piggy break up.
I know, that was pretty harsh. But the thing that was so different about The Muppet Show is that it wasn't like anything else on television at the time. And to have it come back and have it just match everything else that's on TV, I think is going a little off the rails, in my opinion.
How about you, Robin? How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, it's hard too, because, you know, you can criticize it either way. when they bring something back and they're just kind of hitting the same beats, you're like, ah, that's just like old times. And then I'm like, then you're like, but I had old times. It's on DVD. It's on my shelf. I watch it, you know, like once a year. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the, you know, you push the characters into different and new situations and try to update things. And then it might not seem like that show anymore that you loved. So I don't know. They haven't done it successfully yet. I've been, you know, searching around online and trying to find an actual show. The last one that we haven't brought up that I watched most recently, I'd say, was the Arrested Development one, which yeah. was terrible.
The problem with the revival for Arrested Development is they couldn't shoot the cast together, right. And it was the cast availability. And that was a big problem, I think, for that. One that I think also did it pretty well was the Veronica Mars movie.
Veronica Mars did it great. It was a movie, but...
I mean, it still counts as a revival, I would say.
Serenity, excellent. One of my favorite sci-fi movies ever.
Yes, Serenity definitely captured the Firefly feel. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that certain ones, like for instance... Arrested Development and Serenity, they're not that far away from their original content, so they didn't have to make up 10 or more years.
I have to make the joke, how do Reavers clean their spears?
Oh, no. They run it through the wash. Yes. It's too soon, man. It's too soon.
Sorry, guys.
Too soon.
Doctor Who consider a revival?
Absolutely. Yes. Doctor Who is a revival. Shane was just mentioning that. Go ahead.
I was looking at the chat. Yeah. They got a thing where it's like they can put a brand new cast in there and still say, well, that's the Doctor. Mm-hmm. You know,
they had that built into their lore already, and it worked wonderfully for them. I find in the last couple of series, and I've stopped watching because it's...
Me too.
It's less about the Doctor, and now it's the companion show. And run, you clever boy. I don't care how hot you are. Go away. I want to see the Doctor... pull Deus Ex Machina out of his behind, wave the magic wand, and solve the problem. Now, there's no Daleks, no Cybermen. It's not about the Doctor anymore. And what really killed it for me was the entire season of The Impossible Astronaut. Mm-hmm. I do not care about River Song. I never have. I never will. We have watched The Doctor since I was a young child, getting scared to death of that theme song. Watching Doctor Who, watching him fall in love with his companions, and he has a type. He has a thing. He has a thing that he falls in love with. It is the innocence of humanity. It is watching humanity grow. And then you throw me River Song and you say, that's the Doctor's wife. No, it isn't. No, it will never be. No, I don't get it. No, you can't make me believe it. And I lost the plot. I stopped watching.
Yeah, I think that now that Stephen Moffat is leaving the show, I look forward to loving the Doctor again. I'm hoping that it gets fresh. We get some really good stuff. I think Stephen Moffat really needs a co-creator, because if you look at Sherlock, it's amazing. And the guy
speaking
that plays
of revivals.
Yeah, speaking of that would count as a
when
revival.
When did the original come out? 18 something?
Yeah, but it's not really a TV show revival. Well, I guess in the reverse. The guy that plays Moriarty, he's the other showrunner there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and because the two of them...
Not Moriarty, sorry.
Mycroft.
Yes.
The guy that plays Mycroft is the showrunner?
Yeah, him and awesome. Stephen Moffat. Yeah.
Way to write yourself in as like the most kick taco guy in the whole thing.
Yeah, so because he's got somebody there to oppose him... I think he makes a better show. I think that Stephen Moffat has good ideas, but he's kind of bullheaded and he can ruin his own thing, as he did with Doctor Who. That's my opinion. Others may disagree, but I think there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of Moffat hate, so I don't think I'm alone. But yeah, Doctor Who is definitely a revival done well. When you harken back, Like when they brought K-9 back into the show.
K-9!
It was amazing. And it wasn't a...
in the trunk of the car. I love that.
It wasn't just a little reference to make the audience laugh. It was brought into the story and it had a reason, you know? It had a purpose. When they brought the Daleks back, it wasn't just, oh, remember these? It was, no, we have a whole story about them and what's going on here.
And they brought, same thing with the Cybermen. They brought yep. back the guy to do the voice, to do the proper shrill shrieking, exterminate, and yeah. all the rest. And that one conversation between the Dalek and the Cybermen. It's like, you think you can defeat us with four Daleks? No, we think we could defeat you with one. But you are correct. The Cybermen do one thing better than Daleks. What is that? Dying!
loved it.
And for me, I think that's where the balance needs to be struck. You need to riff on your old material, but you can't directly copy it. You cannot just rehash the same old songs, rehash the same old episodes. You know, if you're going to do me a show 20, 30 years later, I should not be able to copy paste your episodes into the old shows. Because like Robin said, I have those on my shelf. I can watch those anytime I want. I expect growth. I expect a little maturity. You know, like Red Dwarf, their characters got older and the jokes got older and newer. And they changed the joke, but it was in the, you know, you can't play the same song, but you should at least keep it in the same key, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Now let's talk a little bit about TV show revivals that are coming, that are on the horizon. Twin Peaks is one of them.
Yes.
I haven't watched Twin Peaks, but I know. but
a concerned look on my face all of a sudden.
Oh my God. Are you okay? How have you lived this long?
Why are you watching Fuller House?
Okay. Point taken. I think what pushed me away from Twin Peaks when it was on is much the same that pushed me away from X-Files when it was on. It was the fans. The fanaticism that just scared me.
Like my Red Dwarf friend sitting next to me going, come on, like it.
Yeah. Wasn't that funny? He just did the thing. Isn't that funny? He did the thing.
Oh my God, he does that all the time. You have no idea. Stop telling me about it.
Exactly.
There's an episode of The Simpsons where he's trying to watch Twin Peaks, and it's a detective dancing with a horse under a stoplight at a four-way intersection. And he's like, wow. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Twin Peaks also was coming out around that time of like Cop Rock and stuff. And I was just so disinterested in TV. So that's one of them. Oh, I forgot to mention another TV show revival that does it right. And Tech, you might not want to leave for this. Star Trek.
I'll be back. Wait, talk about this one while I'm gone.
I wasn't sure if that should be considered a spinoff or a revival. I mean, it is in the list of revivals that I looked up.
TNG was definitely a revival. Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise were all spinoffs. But TNG was a revival because you have to think it was like 20 years in between.
Right.
And originally, the original cast thought they were going to be in the TV show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was definitely a revival. So I'll count that. So Twin Peaks is coming. The big one on my list is Gilmore Girls. I'm very excited about that.
My wife is very excited about it, too. She just rewatched the series. And like right when she was finishing it on Netflix, all of a sudden she heard word of the I guess they're going to be movies.
Well, they're going to be 90 minute episodes. My only problem is Melissa McCarthy is not coming back as Suki. And that makes me sad. It seems that she wasn't asked or whatever, or that they didn't write her in. They probably assumed she'd be too busy, not realizing that she'd probably go, I still want to do this. It's not that hard. But the seventh season of Gilmore Girls was not written by the creators. The creators were gone. Amy Sherman Palladino and Daniel Palladino were gone. Everything that happens in the seventh season is not canon and will not be considered, I don't think, in the TV show revival, which is great because there was a lot of bad in that seventh season. So
seventh season of
Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to Gilmore Girls returning. I really hope it works out.
What do I call that show?
You call that the Pretty Girl Show.
The Pretty Girl Show. they are pretty.
I've recently read about Baywatch getting a movie.
And yes. Apparently, what I heard on the radio the other day is that Baywatch is coming back and The Hoff is coming back, but The Hoff is coming back as himself.
Oh, really?
Not as his character.
Oh, my.
Robin, thoughts?
Never was a big fan of that show at all. And
I hated that show.
To me at all.
I hated that show. Hated that show. Hated that show.
I did enjoy
show.
The spinoff quite a bit.
Which
watching
spin-off?
It as a joke. Baywatch Nights.
Nope.
Where,
nope.
Where Mitch became a private detective that took on the supernatural. Check that out on YouTube if you want to laugh.
Nope.
I'll watch the movie because it's a movie with a rock in it and it's probably going to promise some decent action.
Coach is getting a revival.
I think that was canceled.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then they talked about giving it a revival.
It was originally going to be, yeah.
So I know it's a few years old, but I mentioned it as I went by. What are your guys' thoughts on V?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, V was definitely a revival or a remake at least.
Because I remember that being on, I was a very young kid and mm-hmm. my parents not allowing me to watch it. Something about weird alien dudes in caves and not getting it. And then the new TV show came out and I tried to watch it and didn't understand a bloody thing and just quit.
Well, the funny thing is, I played a role-playing campaign that was based off of the original series V. Not realizing that's where the person who created the module got all the stuff from. It was an independent thing. And so I'd say about and the person who created it like left our group halfway through. But I'd say for about a year to a year and a half, I was playing with the elements from the original series in a role-playing game. Then V comes out and I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh. That's where he got all this. This is from my game. and it was pretty wild. I enjoyed it to a point. There were some things that I really liked and some things that I didn't like. Tech is very upset that they cut Marina Baccarin's hair. I still think she was awesome. She was evil. She was absolutely evil in that, and that was great.
How good was she in Deadpool?
Oh, she was so good in Deadpool.
Yeah.
So good in Deadpool. Yeah. We still need to do a show about that, but I want to see it for a second time first.
I loved the original miniseries of V, though. Oh, my gosh. It was so much, so amazing. I rewatched it again right before the remake. Or was it a remake or was it like a... I can't remember if they it was a continuation or if it was a...
I don't know, because they had this whole subplot of people having been there. I think it's like a little mix of both.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. But I was definitely, you know, I was on for the, I think I watched the entire series. I don't remember it very well. It was probably, I guess it was forgettable. But I was in it for Elizabeth Mitchell and Marina Baccarin, of course.
I thought it was good. It didn't get renewed. I don't think it actually finished the story.
Right.
But it's funny because that show and Flash Forward are intermingled for me because they were on at the same time. And I think Flash Forward was actually a better show.
Well, it had a screaming drunk Joseph Fiennes in it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
He was always fun. and an evil Dominic Monaghan.
Yes.
So.
But yeah, V, I completely forgot about that one.
Is there a revival that you're looking forward to or one that you just wish they would make?
Well, definitely Twin Peaks is the one I'm looking forward to. And after the X-Files, I'm a little scared.
Well, Chris Carter won't let you down twice, will he? Come on, Chris. Do it for us all.
They've been talking about a Xena revival.
Ugh.
And unless Lucy Lawless is playing her, I'm not interested. And from what I've read, Lucy Lawless thinks, oh, she's too old to play Xena. I'm like, no, you're never too old to play Xena. I think that is one of those shows that the actors are too much of the character, and that to go on without the same actors, it would be a problem. I'd love to see, as everyone would, a Firefly revival. But I'd love to see like another crew in that world. You know, I know that we're not going to get the magic back of all of those actors, and some of the characters are gone, but I wouldn't mind seeing more in that world. I think that'd be great.
I'm looking forward to the new Trek that they've announced.
Non-J.J. Abrams Trek.
Trek on TV.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. I have trepidations, of course, because after watching what J.J. did to the movies, for some reason, the networks and the film houses are afraid of Star Trek fans. And every time they talk about Star Trek, it's like, well, we have to appeal to the common masses, not to the nerds. But then they'll go and spend a bajillion dollars and make Star Wars and play it true to the chest and true to the cards and make a real Star Wars movie for Star Wars fans. And it goes gangbusters. If they did that to Trek, I think the same would happen. They're just, they're afraid of us nerds, I guess.
They're underestimating the power of the nerds. They don't realize how many
people... We all have
people...
jobs now. We all pay to go to theaters. We don't have to ask mom for money no more.
They don't realize how many Trekkies there are out there and how devoted that they will be. I mean, when Firefly came out on DVD, there were some people that were buying 10 copies of it just to boost the numbers.
Right.
But the one I'd like to see, if you give me an infinite payroll to make a revival of a TV show of a world that I fell in love with, JMS is still working and still doing good with Sense8. I want to see more Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Bring that world back, please. Because season 5 sucked.
Would it be as good without Andreas Katsoulis?
No. And it will never be as good without Andreas Katsoulis, because him as Jakar was one of the most magic. Between him and Peter Jurasek was what made the show. But I'm sure there's a solution out there somewhere. There's a guy who can play an old crusty lizard just as good as Andreas did.
Or a new crusty lizard.
And let's not forget, I forgot his name, I apologize, but the doctor passed away as well.
Oh, so many people passed away from that show. Are you kidding? That show has a death sentence on it.
The 2IC of Security. That was a tragic story.
His name? Kinnicky.
Yeah. And Garibaldi is not dead, but might as well be dead, because he has... given up acting to become an extreme right-wing conservative radio host, and apparently is doing quite well in that world. But I've tried listening to his show, and
it's bad.
If you've ever watched Glenn Beck and go, I don't like him, you're not going to like what happened to Mr. Garibaldi at all. He makes Glenn Beck look like a liberal.
I would definitely like to see more from JMS. I think he's a cool guy.
I have no affiliation with that show at all, but I'm very much looking forward to season 2 of Sense8.
Sense8 is really good. You should watch it. You should watch Babylon 5. Unfortunately, it's not on Netflix because Warner Brothers hates the project. Somebody at Warner Brothers hates Babylon 5. They don't give it. They just barely got DVDs. They won't put it on Blu-ray.
Do you know why they won't put it on Blu-ray?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't think the show was going to go anywhere at the time that it was filmed. Mm-hmm. So they refused to. They stored it in a certain way that was only at the low res TV versions. So we can't get the high def film versions.
Not surprising. Because when it was on, they refused to submit it for Emmy nominations. Mm-hmm.
Which Peter Jurasek and Andreas Katsoulis would have won for supporting actors, because they are amazing.
There would have been writing and directing winnings. I mean, this show won Hugo's. Yeah, and special effects at the time. Yeah. This show won Hugo Awards, and they wouldn't submit it for an Emmy. It's somebody at Warner Brothers hates Babylon 5. It's horrible. But I would love to see more Babylon 5. That's a great series. Other things that I would love to see.
I just remembered there was actually a revival I just suffered through the entire thing of and just ended recently, which was Heroes.
Yeah. I liked that revival, actually.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Okay, I got to listen to this. This would be good.
So there's a lot of criticism, and there's some things that I would change about it. But I watched it live, and I think that's the wrong way to watch it. I think Heroes Reborn is meant for a binge watch. As a matter of fact, I know it is because it was originally written to be a show released through Microsoft streaming. And then ABC was like, no, we'll put it out. Because ABC has to get first dibs on anything that's written. ABC wanted nothing to do with Heroes. Tim Kring presented this whole idea with the idea of putting it out on streaming. And then ABC said, oh, hang on, we're going to do it. And then they put it out. They did it weekly. They put a 3-week hiatus in the middle of a shortened season, which is just the worst.
Did they have Nissans everywhere?
No, they did not have Nissans everywhere. That was one of the things that I loved.
It's like Chuck and Subway.
It felt like a better season two than season... Like, if I were to tell people to watch Heroes, I would tell them, watch season one, watch the last episode of season four, watch Heroes Reborn. And it works. Because originally, Heroes was supposed to have a new cast every season.
Robin, your thoughts?
You'd be cutting out David Anders.
That's the bonus part. You go back and your extra features is just the stuff in China. Yeah. Not China, Japan.
Did a whole rewatch of Heroes before Reborn started, and I felt like the whole thing actually was better in binge formats.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, at least I don't have to wait a week for another one after that, you know, and then keep moving on progressively through it. Yeah, I think I watched the last, after the stupid hiatus, I let the last three record in my DVR and build up, and then I watched them all in a row at one night. And
it was better, wasn't it?
I don't know. I was not a fan of most of those characters.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed where it went. It had some interesting ideas. I think there were a couple of things that were, some things were too rushed and some things were too drawn out. And I don't know why they had to do that. It was a little frustrating.
They did this whole like time jump back and reset a bunch of things, and then they still ended up doing the same thing anyway. It was.
It only changed one thing, and that was one person's allegiance.
Yeah, which was annoying to have to deal with anyway. Sorry.
When you were talking about Arrested Development before, and you said, "Oh, that Arrested Development reboot that they did," I said, "What, Archer?"
That's a good one.
It's basically the same cast and it's basically the same plot structure, but done in a completely fresh way. Yeah. It also to me counts as a Get Smart reboot.
Yep.
Which they paid homage to, and they tipped the cap in one episode where Archer dives for something and misses it and goes, missed it by that much.
Yeah.
So
I need to watch that show.
Archer?
Yeah.
Oh, please watch it. Sorry. Oh, it's so bloody good. One of my favorite shows on TV right now. But so I have to say that listening to all of this and thinking about it, that our reviews for all of this are decidedly negative.
For most, there have been a couple of
winners. There are a couple positives, Red Dwarf being the big one for me.
Veronica Mars,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So what did they do right that everybody else is getting wrong? What can make more of these reboots successful?
They let the characters be the characters, and they let them be three-dimensional characters.
Yeah, I think that they didn't jam so much into one thing. Like Veronica Mars, it was a nice premise. She went home, she reunited with a few people and helped solve a case. And, you know, it wasn't like, let's visit all the different places we went to and reflect on every single thing that she went through in the three seasons. I think it's pretty perfect. I hope they make another one, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It's got to be more than just jamming in all the catchphrases.
Yeah, exactly. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
They did some Veronica Mars books. They're not great. Don't bother. If you're interested, just listen to Investigating Mars and they'll talk about the books, but you don't need to read them. You're much better off not reading them.
Well, I like the audiobook version of the first because it was read by Kristen Bell. So
that's kind of neat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
But then she was talking in the third person about this girl named Veronica.
That's the biggest problem with the books. It's like it should have been written first person.
First person, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that other show that she's on, House of Lies.
Oh, that's a good
show.
You know,
that one where Veronica Mars quits being a PI and starts going into marketing?
Yeah, it gets very dirty. So Anything else before we wrap this up?
Deadwood.
Deadwood. That's right. They're talking about a Deadwood movie.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I have no idea how it's going to be done.
I have watched very little of that. I sat down and go, why are they all talking weird? Nutty goes, it's iambic pentameter. And I, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, it's iambic pentameter with swear words.
That's weird. Yeah. Why did they drop an F-bomb?
Oh, we can't do any quotes from that show.
No, you really can't quote this show. It'll be nothing but tacos and burritos. I'll make everybody hungry.
So what I am... We mentioned this before the start of the show, and my parting thought is, can we quit bashing... Can we quit revivals where all you're going to do is jam nostalgia down my neck and force me to listen to catchphrases? Give me good, mature, grown characters with an arc that grows in a mature way, and let me love... I have grown since I watched these shows in the 90s and 80s. Allow them to grow with me. Allow me to enjoy what I remember in a new way before I have to put up with Son of Urkel.
Yes, yes.
Because no one wants to see that.
Not a TV show revival, but I'm hearing rumblings about J.K. Rowling is going to write in the Harry Potter world again. But again, the writing and the story will grow with Harry Potter, and he'll be about 30 now. And it'll be about him working for the Ministry of Magic. So that sounds promising to me, and that goes with what Tech is saying. It's not rehashing anything. It's maturing, and it's having an interesting character.
Let the characters grow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I can associate most definitely with the most recent revival I saw, which was The X-Files. I wanted to see what it was like for Mulder and Scully, 13, 15 years later, working in this world, and it just seemed like they didn't really touch on that too much at all. They just got back in the FBI and started solving cases again.
I think the one piece that they did touch on that I did appreciate is they talked about Mulder has been diagnosed with some mental illnesses, and
imagine that
he's taking medication for it and stuff, and they address it very subtly a couple of times, and it's basically showing someone who is functioning with mental health issues, and Tech is raising his hand because he's one of them. Yes, that is something we need to see in our media more, and I really appreciated that from X-Files. So I will give them kudos for that. So that's about it for today. Write in, let us know, what are your favorite TV show revivals? What would you like to see revived on TV? Yes, that does say Love Time Cute would like to know, what show is Robin from?
Oh, I'm from the X-Files revival. I was dogging on it the entire time. It's Bailey because I'm a part of it. I mentioned at the top of the show the podcasts I'm on four different podcasts right now. The iZombie show iZombie podcast with Robin and Steph talking about iZombie. Defenders podcast talking about
You got to tell us the links. So iZombie can be found at
iZombiePodcast.com.
Ding.
And then Defenders can be found at DefendersPod.com.
Ding.
Redemption Cast, which is a show talking about the TV show Angel, redemptioncast.blogspot.com. And We Don't Want to Wait is a show about Dawson's Creek, which is actually, Steph did admit in the first episode of that podcast, we're only doing that just in case they do revive Dawson's Creek. We're going to be asked on the set to, be extras.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think that you can revive that show considering the last episode.
We'll figure it out.
The theme song just floated through my mind, and I just got the name. The joke just finally hit me. That is fantastic. Well done, sir.
So I just search for We Don't Want to Wait on iTunes. I don't even think it comes up if you press Dawson's. We don't have a website.
You have to hunt for that one. It's like a scavenger hunt. All right, enough of that tech.
All right.
Anything else?
That's it. Follow me on Twitter at LRobinHero.
Awesome. And you can find Tech and I, all of the links to everything that we do at nimless.org. You can also find stuff about our other shows like Epic, which there should have been an episode before this one in the feed about right in the feels. So pay attention to that. Yes. Thank you for joining us, everyone. This has been a blast.
Join us for the Bicast, a podcast by and for the bisexual community.
We discuss and give voice to all of us under the big umbrella, bringing you information, news, entertainment, and support for all.
You can find us at thebicast.org, at The Bicast on Twitter, The Bicast on Tumblr, and Bicast in iTunes. Visit the Bicast page on Facebook and see how you can join the Facebook group.
And remember, you're not wrong, and you are not broken, and you are not alone.
So pull up your favorite comfy chair and relax.
And remember, everybody gets a cookie.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.
Yeah, you want to give me some screen credit there in your lower third there?
Oh, yeah, all right, let me do that.
Please.
Sorry. But you don't like being me?
Yeah, Nuke Joss and Mr. Nuke Joss.
Okay.
And this guy, arrow.
I will not be known as Mr. Nutty. Although my first time at Balticon, that's pretty much what it was. Hi, I'm Tech. Who are you? Mr. Nutty. Oh, nice to meet you.
There you go. Is that better?
Much better. Thank you, love.
Okay. You don't sound sick, so.
Yeah, well, the cold is still here and being chased away by delicious rye.
Yeah, but they're not going to hear it.
Well, hold on. No, they can hear it. Hold on.
Oh, gosh. No drinking. Ew. I have to cut that out now. Thanks a lot. Now I have to edit. You're gross. Oh, my gosh. Enough with the noises.